Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
A couple of you asked, how you could pray for me. I'm after church next Sunday. I go down to Logan, get on a plane, and go out to New Mexico. And I'm going to go for 2 weeks to a Benedictine monastery in the high desert, Christ in the Desert Monastery in Abiquiu, New Mexico. And not that any of you have any reason to know about Abiquiu, but if you're familiar with Georgia O'Keeffe, that's where her ghost ranch is. And what I'll be doing is I'm going to be, Christ in the Desert has no internet connection, no cell phone, and I'm going to be trying to finish my next book, which was due this year, and I just need to try to get it done. You may say, well, you're a college professor, and so you write for a living, and yes, I am a college professor, and yes, I have to write for a living, but when you get to know me, you'll know that I have some dyslexia, and so sometimes I preach, and I'll talk about First Corinthians, but I'll tell the congregation it's First Chronicles, and it causes general confusion. So somebody asked how it is I could memorize my sermons, and the answer is that it's that I can't read them. And so, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Your weaknesses turn into strengths, etc. But I would appreciate your prayers. I try to write and try to finish. It's not that I can't do it. I'm easily distracted. So going to a place where there's virtually no distraction is a good, good thing for me. Breathe in, breathe out. It's this really emotional time of year. Everybody's just breathe in, breathe out. It's just this really emotional time of the year. All the expectations, when you're young, you tend to have hopes. When you're older, you tend to have regrets. But it's that time of year, and it's just a challenge. And it's not Christmas yet. It's Advent. We're preparing ourselves to receive Christ as King. We're going to celebrate Christmas for 12 days. We're going to party with the best of them. We're not spoil sports. I want to read today from the beginning of the story and then toward the end of the story. First reading is from the book of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came. He made it. The world did not recognize him. And from Luke chapter 19, from Palm Sunday, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anybody asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying it?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw the cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and you and the children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Then they entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. "It is written," he said, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this season. We thank you for Jesus. And we just ask, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us right now, that you would speak into our hearts and our soul, that we would have the discipline to listen and the courage to be obedient. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite singer-songwriters is a Welshman from Wales. Named Martin Joseph. And one of the songs that he wrote was entitled, "It's Not a Good Time to Be God." And like any good song, it has many different layers of meaning. And as we look at this world of ours, sometimes we say to ourselves, "It's not a good time to be God, and it's not a good time to be a Christian." Every week, there's things we can point to locally. In the prayer time, we heard the request that people ask the most difficult questions about how can God allow this and allow that. Enormously difficult questions. Hard stuff. Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty. We saw this week that there was kind of an outcry when he expressed his opinions on things connected to his own faith. And it's so easy for us to say we Christians are in a situation we're embattled, we're in a situation we are persecuted, we're in a situation where we're misunderstood. It's not a good time to be God. It's not a good time to be a Christian. Never has been. Never will be. Back 2,000 years ago, it wasn't a good time to be God. Can you imagine making this world? Can you imagine your creation deciding to worship themselves rather than you? Watching it spin out of control? God can handle it, but it breaks his heart. And I just think it's the most remarkable thing that's ever been written, that God would care so much, that he would love so much, that he would come down to earth. And he did. It wasn't a good time to be God. And the thing was, he came, he lived, and people still didn't get it. Palm Sunday is the great moment of they still don't get it. John 1 speaks of the fact that he comes and nobody recognizes him. He comes and they don't know who he is. They comes and they actually don't want what he has to offer. He comes, they decide that they're going to make him into their own genie to do what it is that they want to do, which is why they're worshiping him on Palm Sunday. And he's just saying, you all don't get it. Nobody gets it. It's not a good time to be God. It's not a good time. Not a good time to be a Christian. The world doesn't get it. No, it doesn't. It's not a good time to be God. And it's so easy to feel like what we need to do is kind of circle the wagons. We need to build a fortress. We need to protect ourselves from this world in which we live. We need to just try to find a way to ride out the storm. Let it pass. Hopefully it won't take us with it. When the next flood comes, though, it won't be a flood of water. Thank God for rainbows. And that's not what God did. Advent in Amherst. Right now, as we think about Christmas, there's no question that each one of us are thinking about all the things that we need to do or the last minute shopping or all that stuff. I get that. And I like presents. As I said, I got two of them today. I'm loving it. Loving it. And I'll be here Tuesday night. If you want to bring more presents, bring them. Love the presents, not a party pooper. But. Well, all of us need to do is to just kind of step back. I'm not saying we don't have to cook and do all the things we've described. No, we got to. Okay, I get that. But what all of us need to step back and do is to say to ourselves, in this Advent and in this 12 days of Christmas, because believe it or not, these 12 days of Christmas are a great time of reaching out to people. There's this post-Christmas hangover that always exists. And how cool is it to begin to reach out to people and continue to party after they've decided that it's done? No, this is a great opportunity coming up. And what I'm asking is all of us to kind of step back and say, over these next 2 weeks, what does it mean to bring Christ to Amherst? Amherst being a code word for your neighborhood. Maybe it's Bedford, Milford, I have no idea. What does it mean to bring Christ to Amherst? What does it mean to bring Christ to your neighbors? Because Jesus didn't sit up in heaven and circle the wagons and just let it all ride out. He came. And I find that the way in which he reached out to Jerusalem to be a very inspiring way to think about how we can reach out to Amherst. And in thinking about how to reach out to Amherst, in thinking about what does it mean to go into this world, to bring Christ to this world, it's the perfect Advent discipline. What do we know about Jesus in Jerusalem? From the very day that he came, he was destined for Jerusalem. From the very day that he came, he was destined for Jerusalem, and the destiny with Jerusalem was going to be a destiny with death. Jesus didn't avoid it. Jesus didn't avoid his mission. Jesus didn't avoid what was not just unpleasant, but brutal. He didn't avoid it, he embraced it. He embraced Jerusalem. And what we see here is, even though he's coming into Jerusalem, people are praising him for all the wrong reasons. They're praising him for the miracles, not for who he is. They're praising him for what he did for them, what he gave them, not for who he is, not for why he came. And he weeps. He loves the city. He loves the city. What does it mean to bring Christ to Amherst? What does it mean to bring Christ to our neighborhood? It means that we need to love it. As I've said before, Robert Frost, the poet laureate of New Hampshire, tall fences make good neighbors. We tend not to be a big neighborhood culture. When we go around our communities here, we've oftentimes several acres around a house. I live in Manchester. We don't have sidewalks. It's not the most neighborhood-friendly part of the world. But what does it mean to be Christ to Amherst? It means to love it. It means to go to it. A lot of times we have this phrase, if we build it, they will come. If we build a church, they will come. Not going to happen. We do not live in a world right now where if people see a church building, they say, I think I'd like to go. No. We have to model what it means to be Christ to Amherst is to go to it. What it means to be Christ to our neighbors is to go to them. What we need to resolve to do is we sit here and reflect about what does it mean to be followers of Jesus Christ in this time and in this place and in this season. What we need to realize is over the next 2 weeks, we need to go to our city. We need to go to our neighbors. We need to reach out. God reached out to us. He just didn't even reach out. He came to us. He lived with us. He died with us. This is what Jesus did for us, and this is what we are to do for Jesus. And for all the energy we are spending on what to cook and what to buy, we need to spend more energy on what does it mean to bring Christ to Amherst? What does it mean to bring Christ to our neighborhood? What does it mean to be Christ in this place? Jesus chose Jerusalem. He loved it. He went to it. And when he got there, he spent time teaching. As we heard in the prayer time, there is a lot of misconception about God. There's a lot of questions about God. As we see in the Phil Robertson Duck Dynasty thing this week, there's just all sorts of misconceptions about Christianity. God is misunderstood. We are misunderstood. Jesus Christ is misunderstood. And how is the world supposed to understand if we don't tell them? It's not their job to understand what they don't understand. It's our job. And this Advent, it's just so easy to make it about us. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ is that it's about God. God gave his entirety to us, and we are to do the same. What does it mean to be Christ in Amherst? It means to go to it. It means to embrace it. It means to teach it. It means to explain God to this world. And how is God explained to this world? God is explained through words, and God is more effectively explained through deeds. We live in a culture in which words don't work so well. We live in a culture in which people have been lied to, people have been misled. The amount of trust among Americans is at an all-time low. And the reality is that words don't mean much. Commitments don't mean much. And what it is we're going to have to do is we're going to have to authenticate the truth by the way in which we live. We're going to have to demonstrate that God loves by the way that we live. Jesus went to Jerusalem. Jesus loved it. Jesus taught it. Jesus healed. This city, this town, your neighborhood needs healing. The people in your neighborhood need healing. I'm grading papers. I teach a course called The Politics of Diversity, and we deal with all the hot-button topics that you can deal with in America today, everything that's connected to Phil Robertson and Duck Dynasty. I'm reading the papers. I asked the students to write a paper on the meaning of gender and same-sex marriage and then same-sex marriage. I'm reading the papers. You're reading along the logic, you're reading along the argument, all these kind of things, and then almost invariably at the end of the paper, the students relate a story about their own lives of brokenness that helps to explain everything that's come before it, whether they know it or not. We live in an area, we always have, of enormous brokenness. We live in an area of people who need healing. Who is it around you that needs healing? It's easy to be with the beautiful people. The beautiful people rejected Jesus. Jesus spent his time with whoever would be with him. We may think, some of us may think we're beautiful people, but none of us are. Do you know your neighbors well enough to know who needs healing? Do you know your neighbors well enough to know how you can teach? Jesus went to Jerusalem and he was crucified. And one of the things that we need to recognize as we move out into this world is that it's not a safe place. As we also heard in prayer time, the people that hate us are going to hate Jesus. The people that hate Jesus are going to hate us. It's not a safe place. We might be crucified. And that's why we have to die before we do this. We have to die to self. And I would say that's the ultimate Advent discipline right now. How in this time where so much is focused on the self, how do we die to it? Because it's only in dying to it that we can go to it. And we may say, this is a death sentence, this is a drag. This guy who comes into preachers or politics professors, the ultimate downer. Yeah, come to Christmas and you talk about crucifixion. Let's save that for about 4 months from now. There's something glorious about Jesus and Jerusalem. It's not only the place he was crucified, it was the place he was resurrected. That as we go to this place called Amherst, it's not just the place that we may be crucified, it's a place that God will resurrect us. It's a place that God will resurrect others. It's why we're here. It's why Jesus came. And as we sit here today and we think about our lives, we think about the hopes, we think about the broken dreams, we think about the things that haven't gone right, we think about ourselves, we think about ourselves, we think about ourselves, we think about ourselves. It's time to get out of ourselves. It's time to think about what does it mean to bring Christ to Amherst? What does it mean over these next 2 weeks to bring Christ to our neighbors, to move out, to engage, to speak, to teach, to love, to do deeds? It's not our burden to save anybody. It's not our burden to convert anybody. It is our mission to love. To love into submission. And if you say, this sounds like a strategy that's not going to work, the strategy of dying. As Jesus was on the cross, the Roman centurion looks up, and after he breathes his last, the centurion says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." That it was at the moment of dying that people could see authentically who Jesus is. It's at our moment of dying to ourselves and to all these things that people will see authentically who Jesus is. People may misunderstand Jesus. It may not be a good time to be God or a good time to be Christian, but the reality is this world has a hunger. Just like each one of us in this room has a hunger, this world has a hunger. And the problem is they do not know Jesus. They do not know God. They do not know the God that can satisfy the hunger that is within them. They do not believe that that God exists. And it's our responsibility not to be God, but to bring God to this world. Jesus chose Jerusalem. He loved it. He went to it. He taught it. He healed. He died. He was resurrected. And so it should be with us. To close, I want to give an illustration from a good friend of mine, Dan Russell, who's the owner of Soulfest. Dan works in the music industry, in both the secular side and the Christian side, and the money he makes on the secular side, he loses on Soulfest. But he's a good guy. Dan would say that he's not a professional Christian. And he's often asked to go speak at different conferences because he's big in the music industry, he's a Christian. So finally he went to speak at a pastor's conference one day. And they pay him a fair amount of money to do this thing. It was a big deal in Nashville. And so he gets up, he has everybody he puts a piece of paper and a pencil on every chair in the room. He gets up, he asks the pastors to draw a map of to put their house on there and put all the adjacent houses. Then he asks them to put the names of all the people in the adjacent houses. And then he asks them to describe things about their lives. And then he passes in the paper. They pass in the paper. Dan shows a music video that he produced. While he's doing the music video, he's paging through all of these different things, quickly tabulates it, and the pastors knew 6% of the people that lived around them. So Dan gets up and he says, "You all know 6% of the people around you. So Your task is to get to know your neighbors." That was it. He was never asked back. Who is our neighbor? Well, one level, our neighbor is in Kenya, Zambia. But God has placed us in a geographic location. And it would be the ultimate Advent insult to a God who came to us that we wouldn't know our neighbors, that we wouldn't go to our neighbors, that we wouldn't love our neighbors. It's so easy to relate to the things we want to relate to and ignore the people that we don't. This Advent, let's bring Christ to Amherst and Christ to our neighborhood. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the glory of Christmas. Thank you for the babe, the straw poverty. We thank you for all that it means. And God, let us celebrate Christmas well. And God, let us party well. And God, let us bring Christ to our neighbors. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning into Sermoncast. We hope you were blessed by this week's message. For more information about Christ Church, please visit ccnh.org.